What really happened unto her? What went down in the van? Allegedly, beers with bears. Beers with bears. Beers with bears. Beers with bears.
Let's just all add Barry in the band chat.
I was just going to do it over and over again until he shows up.
And I still can't. I can't see myself. I don't know why my camera is not, like, on.
Hmm.
All right. I don't use the video for the episodes. We just do, like, a picture at the end. We'll make some. We'll figure it out.
We'll Photoshop Matt.
Photoshop, yeah.
Yeah.
Use a frame of him from the last podcast that we did and just...
I had one guy that I record, like one band I record with, one of their members, like their camera wouldn't work, and it was just like his picture that's like on Zoom, so it was just him like mid drum the entire episode. It's kind of funny.
That's funny. Action shot, like
yeah.
And he turns the camera on and he's actually sitting at a drum set with like sticks in his hands.
Like... It's audio only though, that's not a big deal. That's good then.
Yeah, we're good. I keep it simple. But Matt, I do want to thank you for sending me those tracks ahead of time. Like, I've been jamming them a lot and like they all sound super sick, so you guys are killing it.
Cool, thanks so much.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'll be like driving home from work and I'll be like, man, I really just want to listen to the three singles that we recorded, and I'll be putting them on in my car and it's like, oh, I know we should wait until they're out, but I'm like putting them on repeat now. And it's like,
yeah. Well, like that's the best time to like jam them too though, is because like you're listening to it with like your own setup, and then you get that extra feel for it to be like, okay, no, like this is what works. It's still like working in this aspect.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So our stuff is out. I don't listen to it too much because of like between like having to like make sure they're perfect beforehand and just having to, you know, over and over and over again as soon as you get the like the mixes back and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Matt listened to the mixes more than anybody, so I wouldn't blame you for. Taking a little break in that regard.
See, I was somewhere in the middle where, like, I didn't listen to them for a while. And then for the show we just did, I was like, oh, crap, I gotta start listening to that again so I don't mess it up at the show.
Oh, okay.
And then I listened to it again and I was like, why haven't I been listening to this over and over again? So that was fun.
Now in the blink of an eye, it's summertime. Green grass sunsets in an orange sky. A good view, a reminder of home. But it wouldn't be enough for me, even if it could
If
try.
I told myself I hate
another episode of Beers with Bands. This week I'm virtually back in Jersey because Jersey is the home of pop punk, and I had to go sit down with these dudes. I'm sitting down with All Systems Go from New Jersey. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome. I love the intro, by the way, the can opening. That's awesome because we have a song that opens the same exact way. It's a song about drinking, so it's like, yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, got it. Gotta do the fresh crack on every episode, man. Gotta be authentic.
Dude. Yes.
Like I mentioned, All Systems Go from New Jersey. You guys are a pop punk band. If you guys want to kind of go around and say who you are and what you do in the band.
Okay, well, Dean, you're pointing it. Okay, I'm Matt. I sing and play guitar.
Hello, I'm Dean. I play the bass.
And I'm Joe, and I play the drums in the band.
And not present is Devin, also known as Barry, who also sings and plays guitar. And yeah.
Okay. So I always like to kind of start at the beginning of every project. And obviously you four have been doing music for a while. How did you form and like get to where you are now as All Systems Go?
Okay. Yeah, it starts with me. We can go around too, because this is a little. Okay, so back in high school, me and Devin were in a band together with the other two original members of our band now. We were actually called But We Aren't Canadian, which is ironic because there we didn't know that when we were naming the band All Systems Go, we didn't know that there was a Canadian band back in the early 2000s called All Systems Go. And we wouldn't have known that. But we were a band in high school between 2011 and 2013. And then all four of us were going off to different colleges. Devin was a grade younger than the rest of us. So we were going off to college. He was still a senior in high school. So we weren't really going to keep it going. And then after we all went off to college, none of us really continued music, just in general. And then I hadn't seen Devin in a few years after that, just because of circumstances and stuff. But one of the first times that I did see him in 2016, I was like, hey man, I've been playing guitar for a little bit, like more consistently recently. Check out this riff that I have on my phone. Because the conversation like almost immediately went to music stuff, and I showed him the riff, and within a week, like, we got the band back together. Like, it was, and when we were like, we're gonna do it our way this time, we're gonna make sure that we take our time with everything, learn from any mistakes we had when we were playing in high school. And yeah, it was us two, our original bassist Augie, and then Kyle on drums. And then this is where Joe comes in.
Yes, I can actually, if you want, Matt, I can backtrack a little bit and say, like a little before this, me and Matt got involved with a group of friends, also a kind of a high school group, where we would just kind of get together and jam out. Someone who we both know who went to a different high school, his name's Evan. He writes really great songs. And he would just kind of get a bunch of people together and be like, hey, like, learn some parts for my song, we'll play it along. Hey, if you guys have ideas for song, it was just kind of like a little jam band sort of thing. We got together like a couple times in about like a year and a half maybe time span. So that was a lot of fun for me. I would like come back from college and join these guys on breaks and just play. And then that kind of died out. It fizzled out for a little while. And then like it had to be what, like 6 months to a year later, I saw that Matt and the guys had restarted the band, and I was like, oh cool, good for them, like awesome. And then a few months after they started, I got a message from them like, hey, can you fill in for Kyle for a couple gigs? Actually, hey, we're playing two of the songs that you learned with the jam band that Matt brought. So that works out well. So I was like, sure, fine. I hopped in for a couple gigs. And then after a few gigs, it turned into, so can you be like the drummer in the band? Because Kyle, like, he hadn't really kept up playing drums. And he played with them for a little while and was just kind of like, you know, like, I don't think I can really stick with this the second time around. And I was like, sure, why not? Matt, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, like the band that we were in, it wasn't like you and me were in with Evan and Ian. It wasn't, the music quality was there. We made a demo, which sounded pretty good for it just being like an iPhone recording. Mm. But it wasn't as serious as like, let's get some shows going and stuff like that. So we still had we still had Candle Smoke and London Lights like at our disposal. And for our first few gigs, like we did them acoustic just so we can kind of get our band chemistry back. Joe took over for Kyle, like when Kyle was like, I really don't have time to like relearn full drums, you know? Yeah. And then from there, it was like our fifth or sixth show. And then Joe took over and then the lineup continued. And then we started doing the thing. And then, 2019 rolls around. We were playing more shows than ever. And, Augie decided to leave the band. We're all still great friends with them. Like we have a group chat with the four of us and both of our previous members too, that I'm pretty sure lately has been going off more than just the band chat with the four of us in it. So,
yeah, and then, much.
Yeah. And then 2019, this is where Dean comes in.
Yeah. I first played a show on the same bill as All Systems Go in like January 2019. Yeah. God, I got my years all mixed up. January 2019. I was in a band at the time called Burnmore, Pour One Out for Burnmore. You know, it was a fun little show at Sage Coffee House in Philly. Burnmore, All Systems Go, and Cat in the Wall, which is another great local band. And, you know, afterwards I was like, man, that All Systems Go band was pretty sick. You know, they had some nice little riffs that I thought was pretty awesome. You know, fast forward to later, like September that year, I saw All Systems Go said that they needed a bass player. And I was like, I am so there. I will audition the crap out of this band. I will destroy every other bass player applying for the position. Luckily, I was the only one that applied, so got the gig. And now here we are. was when Garden State Skies was out, and I was like bumping it like it's a great album.
It was like right before the Waiting Room dropped too. And Dean responded to my Facebook post within the first 4 minutes of me posting it. So we really lucked out.
We really did.
But luck was mutual, so
that's how we started though. It's a long tale.
I mean I feel like with a lot of bands that I've been talking to, like they always have like this long journey to get to like where they are at now, and it's always crazy to see like, oh yeah, we started with like so and so is the only original member, or like two of us are original, and just getting to like the lineup that they're fully comfortable with now. I mean, especially with like these three singles that we're going to talk about here in a bit, like getting to this lineup is probably the most solid lineup, and probably I'm guessing your guys' opinions for what you guys are putting out.
I would say so. I feel like we all have our like strengths in the band too. Like at this point, and especially too after playing for so long, playing together for so long, like we've been able to sort of like harness them.
Yeah. Like we did mention, you guys do have that Garden State Skies and the Waiting Room, two albums out already, which people should definitely go still check those out. They're still solid jams. But you guys have been working on some new singles that that are at the time of this recording, one's already come out, one's about to come out, and then one's coming out right towards the date of this episode actually airing that I'm super stoked to talk about. And so if we didn't miss anything, do you guys think we're ready to kind of move on and talk about those?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
All right. Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, the first single that just came out, wasn't it just Friday? Like, not even a week ago. Like, just a few days ago.
Yep.
No One Does Homecoming just came out, and it's a super sick jam, especially because, you know, most people think pop punk and their hometowns, and it's usually just, like, fuck my hometown. But this one is, like, the perfect, I'd say, like, middle-aged, like, pop punk jam, because it's... it's a little bit of, like, fuck my hometown, but at the same time, like, I love my hometown, and, like, because you're realizing it all, and it's such a good jam for everyone that hasn't listened to it. What's the response been on it, like, so far with it coming out?
First of all, I'm glad you had that takeaway, that you were able to recognize that it's not actually completely, like, a fuck our hometown type of song. Yeah, so far the response has been... like amazing, like by comparison. It's definitely getting like a more amount of plays quicker than any of our previous stuff, which is kind of cool. And lyrically, like at our we had a show the day after the release, the 9th, October 9th at Harper's Pub, and like everybody was singing the words already, like the whole song. So like we're super hyped to be doing that.
Yeah, I shared on Facebook like the day it came out, and like I'm getting like all sorts of comments from like people I don't even know that well, just like, yo, this is sick. Like all like the feedback has been really great. So I think you know, a big part of that is the sound. Like, yeah, it's a great song, but also, you know, the lengths we went to, and the great work that our producer and all the mixers and everybody did to get it to really sound that good. I think that's a big part of it as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'll echo that. I had some random text messages the past couple days like, yo, that song is really good. I was like, thanks. But and it definitely, the process we went through to get these recorded and produced and mixed and mastered really well was worth the effort in the end. And we've been really happy with, I mean, we're on day, what, 4 right now? We're definitely happy with the response we've had to the song so far.
Well, and then like I watched like the little mini documentary that you guys did put out on your YouTube channel, which for anyone that wants a little bit more insight as to like the recording process, definitely go check it out. But it's that for these three singles, this is the first time you guys have actually, sounds like, gone in studio to actually lay down tracks and kind of build it from the ground up. All right.
Yeah, I'd say so. This is the first time that we've like our previous two releases, we recorded the album ourselves, and then the Waiting Room, we went in with Jamie Gowell, who is a great sound engineer at Blue Light Digital Sound in Mount Holly. But we did that one over the course of like a couple months, like where we could go into the studio like whenever we could at night for a couple hours at a time. this time, yeah, we hunkered down for 5 days and just we had a pre-production day. Next day was all drums, you know, and we spent like hours and hours and hours just putting everything we had into just these songs, just shutting everything out, which was pretty cool experience. And like, I would say it's something we would probably want to do again if we're going to put more stuff out. So
yeah, we're already looking forward to going back in. So
And for people that might not be aware, where did you guys go and who helped you guys out? Because I mean, obviously I know who helped you guys out. It's like a big thing to have this person help out. So
oh yeah, we went to the Gradwell House in Haddon Heights, New Jersey, and we worked with Nick Bruzzese of the band Man Overboard. Shout out to Nick, really brought the life into this song for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, what I liked about Nick's process is that he knew how he wanted like every detail to sound, and he knew like what to tell us in order to have us like make those sounds. Joe especially, he was beaten up, and it came out awesome because of it. Like we really there was no guesswork involved, really. It was all just like, you know, straight ahead.
Yeah, yeah. He really pushed us to get the most out of our performances, and he was straight up with us too. He's like, you know, I'm a drummer, so I'm going to make sure all of this is like perfect. You're going to hate me for it by the end of it, but it's going to be great at the end. And I said, okay. And it was hard work, but I learned a lot in those, even just a couple hours recording drums with him. And oh my gosh, if I had just walked in and done it without his input, it got like 10 times better with his input. So very thankful for that.
Yeah.
That was also the running joke too, during, because Joe went to the beach during like the second and third day, or like the third and fourth day or something, when we were doing like guitars, and Nick was like, yo, where's Joe? Did he just have enough of me after that first day? So in that picture of all of us at the end where we're all smiling and stuff, Nick was like, I bet Joe still thinks I'm an asshole right now.
Oh gosh. So funny too. He also did a great job of just keeping the atmosphere light, you know? Like it wasn't like he spent the entire 5 days like drilling us. He would crack a joke here and there. It was like honestly a good time to just hang out and record our stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't feel like work. It really was not tiring or exhausting at all.
No, but that's awesome that one, he kept it lively, but two, that he actually like put in the time and effort to like, it sounds like he really cared about you guys' like production, rather than where, you know, a lot of places might just be like, okay, you guys are coming in to record this, maybe do a little bit of this, but whatever, get out of my studio. But like, I mean, especially with Nick, like that's pop punk legend right there, with Man Overboard and being New Jersey and stuff. But like, that's awesome that he took the time to actually give a shit.
Yeah, Devin put it really well. He said that Nick was kind of like a teacher. Like, it was literally like doing band stuff with a teacher around, and it was kind of awesome. Like, that's the first time we've experienced something like that.
He was our pop punk professor.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I like that.
Oh, and also, too, real quick, I just want to credit the other two who helped with this. And the other three, Nick's assistant, Dom Maggi, engineered the lead guitars on everything, and everything sounds crisp in that regard. He also edited the drums and bass as well. And then Matt Weber from the band A Great Big Pile of Leaves did all the mixing. And then Gradwell House owner Dave Downham did the mastering.
And then one more shout out, I feel like. I don't know if you're about to get to it, but Keith from Ditz did the artwork for the single.
Yes, yes. Keith, the cool part about that was we had an idea that we gave Keith. And then Keith came back because if you look at his Instagram and stuff, he's been like really diving into like all different types of styles of animation and cartoons and stuff like that. He came back and was like, hey, what if I did this? Like, I have an idea for like a sort of like collage kind of thing. And I can put more of like you guys in it, if that makes sense. Stuff that represents maybe like you guys, stuff that maybe represents the song. And then we're like, you know what? If you have a vision, just go with it. And then just let us know when you're done. And then he handed it back, and we were like, holy shit, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything about it came out awesome. Like the colors, like, you know, it's just really, it really, like, it kind of catches your eye when you look at it, which is great. So can make people stop for long enough to listen to the 27-second clip of the song, and then, hey, shit, maybe they'll bump it on Spotify or something, you know? So,
yeah, you know how Spotify you know how Spotify has canvases now, like that video clip playing in the back when you open it kind of thing? I don't want to put a canvas on for this song because I feel like the artwork is, like, too important, you know?
I completely feel that, honestly, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's so much to see in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think I was looking at it, and I'd see, like, one detail, and then I'd look at it again and see, like, another little thing. I mean, he killed it. Definitely, like, if you listen to the Dits episode, if you need artwork done, definitely go hit up Keith. He does a great job. He also did, I think I saw that he also did the artwork for The Waiting Room. So, I mean, you know, killing it again, so...
That's an iconic little cover with the skeleton dude. Like, it's, right. It's very memeable. You know, we like him. So yeah.
Obviously, like I mentioned, this song is really about not a full like fuck you to your hometown because everyone goes back to their hometown. I mean, I really related to this song because, I mean, I moved out of my hometown to like a bigger city and I still miss my hometown and most days. But when I'm back there, I fucking hate it. But like. You know how it goes.
Somebody I know described this song, sorry to interrupt, as a happy medium between Can't Kick Up the Roots by Neck Deep and All Signs Point to Lauderdale by A Day to Remember. It's like a halfway between I love this town and I hate this town, you know what I'm saying? I forget who told me that, but I think it might have been my brother or something like that. Yeah.
I feel like that's perfect. Is there any like extra backstory that people might not know about this song or any like extra insight?
I would say this is there's a lot of extra insight because like I would say especially, and I'll speak to this with the other songs that are coming out too. I would say everything that we're writing now and that we've recently written is lyrically probably the deepest, like more thought out types of songs, I guess. Like, it took me a good amount of time to really, like, solidify what the message of the song would be. So, the backstory for this song. And Dean said this to us before, too. Like, the way that we kind of write now, everyone, like, champions their own song. So, like, one person will write, like, most of the lyrics, write all the lyrics for it and, like, you know, piece the music around it and stuff like that. So like one of the songs that's coming out is Dean's song. One of the songs that's coming out is Devin's song. Joe has a song that we're working on right now.
Okay.
So Homecoming is pretty much my song. I wrote it. I started writing it back in January of 21. Before I had like some of the lyrics done, but it wasn't structured at all. And it was just basically about being bored with like living at home and stuff. And also at the time I was in grad school, I was doing two classes and it was literally keeping me in my bedroom doing homework for 25 hours a week. Like I shit you not, 25 hours a week worth of like homework every single week. On top of working full time at a job that I wasn't really like happy doing what I was doing. And you know, at the time, end of 2020, still into 2021, everything was like semi shut down. So it was a mix of that. And plus like most of my close friends moved out of Delran too. And like, we couldn't play shows. And like, so everything just kind of seemed like it sucked. So I had some of the lyrics done then. And then a little bit later on in like February, somebody in our high school class posted something in our class group page on Facebook. And the post was basically like, hey, our 10-year reunion is in 2 years. Can you guys believe it? I can't believe how successful all you guys have become. And like, and I don't mean to call the person out. I appreciate the enthusiasm. I'm not like pissed or anything about it, but it's like at that moment, the last sentence being like, I can't believe how successful all of you have become. It didn't like sit with me right at all, and it gave me like such bad anxiety. And I'm like, and you've heard the song, so you know what the lyrics are to the bridge and stuff. And I'm like, okay, like this really sucks. Like, I don't like where I'm at right now. And then you do that thing where your mind kind of like compares everything you're doing to everything that other people that you know are doing, and then it's like, well, shit, I feel like I'm falling behind in life now. So from there, even though the song was still kind of unstructured, I finished the rest of the lyrics and like in pretty much that same night and just kind of like pieced it together with everything I had before, and the song kind of took on like a bigger meaning, I guess, from there. And two, something about that Facebook post. You know how in some Facebook groups you can see like how many people view a post? This post only got 2 likes and 100 people saw it. So I decided to include that in the song, like, but hardly anybody's talking about it. Maybe I'm not the only one who feels like a mess. And like, I would say in terms of trying to include that like attention to detail, not just this song, a lot of the other songs that are coming out like have a lot of attention to detail in them, whether they be in the lyrics or like the music and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And I can also add real quick, the title "No One Does Homecoming Like Us" is a little homage to where me, Matt, and Devin grew up, because Delran and I think some of the surrounding schools too, they do a really big, crazy homecoming, like floats and skits. Like, everything shuts down for a week, and it's all homecoming. And, the whole, like, everyone who's gone to that high school kind of knows, like, no other schools really do homecoming as crazy as we do it.
Right.
And as hardcore as we do it. So, like, I've talked to a couple people who went to the same high school as me, even, like, people I don't know who were just at our show, and were like, hey, I went to Delran. That's cool how you guys did that. It's so true. You know, that's kind of been a cool aspect, too. And kudos to, I did not come up with that title. Who came up with that title? I don't even
remember. I did.
That was Matt. Okay. Yeah, I think it was either you or Devin. But kudos to Matt for coming up with that title.
It's a great pop punk song title too, you know, lots of words, you know.
Yeah.
A la Panic at the Disco and Fall Out Boy. Yeah. So
well, speaking of a lot of words for a title, you have another single coming out here. Well, obviously, previous to when this episode releases in mid-November. And that one's called The One Where They Ride Off Into the Sunset, which is another long title, you know.
Great title.
It's so a great title. And it kind of leads into, Matt, how you were mentioning how, like, everyone kind of has their own song in these singles that you guys are working on. Because, I mean, the three that we're talking about tonight are definitely three different songs, while they're still all Systems Go songs, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because like we have like the hometown homage, we have a nice little love song with this one that we're going to talk about, and then we have like a basically like a self-loathing song for the last one that we'll get to. Now, whose song was this one for? I know it's not Joe's, because you said Joe's is still working on it.
Sunset was written by Devin about his now fiance.
Okay, well, Devin, if you show up, I got questions for you, man.
You might be able to take those questions if you wanted to wait to see if he shows up. I don't know. I mean, we could probably
yeah, we can always route back. But it's another solid jam that I'm stoked for you guys to put out. I mean, it shows
the riffs.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say the riffs in Sunset just get me going every time, like from right off the bat. The rhythm guitar part, but also that lead guitar part. And then in the pre-chorus, the ice cream truck riff, you know, like every time I hear that, I'm like stepping on the gas in my car, like, whoa, like, it's just so good. I think the guitar is probably, I think, the strongest part of the song, or maybe like the vocal line in the chorus, one of those two, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Out of everything in that song, Devin came up with the vocal line in the chorus first. I said he had to change it because the first few notes of it sounded exactly like to a T, exactly like Washington Square Park by the Wonder Years. Like, all we ever wanted was to be a it was like uncanny, and I'm like, this is so good, but it's like not gonna. And then we just switched a couple notes.
I like how it is better now, honestly. I think I really like what you guys decided on for the notes there. Yeah, it works great.
It's a sick song. I mean, it shows another full side to you guys. I mean, like going from like the homage to this one, when Devin comes back, we might route back to it. And then, Matt, were you still tentative on that date that you told me for the last song?
I would say, yeah, I'd say it would. The last song would be coming out on the date that I mentioned to you.
Okay, so we're good to talk about it and everything.
Just before the holidays, yeah.
Okay, tight. So I just didn't want to like screw up your guys' schedule with like anything that you guys have like planned for releasing and stuff.
Yeah, everyone knows we're gonna be busy for the rest of the year already. So.
All right. And then, like I mentioned, the kind of like self-loathing song, which is also a super good jam, Don't Let Me Go, coming out sometime around this episode, maybe after, but we'll kind of figure that out. Or just keep your eyes posted on their social media and you'll figure it out, and I'll post about it. But that's another sick song, and I'm guessing by process of elimination, it is your song, Dean?
Yes, that is correct. I wrote it summer of 2017, fall 2017. Basically, I like sort of took every good idea I had ever come up with regards to like songwriting and kind of combined it all into this one. And it's kind of like my first like real like full length pop song, because I'm like a composer. Like I have a degree in music composition, but I like am not nearly as versed in like pop songwriting as like the other guys in the band. Like they're the ones who really like took it and like made it into like this like pop punk jammer. And then Nick kind of polished it off in the studio as well. So, but yeah, you know, there's like nice little, you know, yeah.
It should be noted that that was also Nick's personal favorite song of the three.
I mean, we're also both bass players, so a little bit of...
Yeah.
Nothing against Devin, but, I mean, it's, for me, for the three songs that you sent over for me to jam out to, I mean, it's this one and, like, The Homecoming, like, are battling, and I kept switching between those two most often, but, I mean, they're two solid jams. I commend you both for coming up with ideas.
Thank you very much. Yeah, ever since the Masters came out, it's been switching between the three for me. So, depending on the day, it's like, which one do I want to hear more? So,
right.
Yeah.
Too hard to pick a favorite for sure.
Well, my favorite is one that we got in the works still. So I won't say no anymore on that.
But, okay. Oh yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
You don't have to go too far into detail, but only thing I ask is, obviously, you have these three singles that are done and basically either out, about to be out, or almost out, depending on the date we're thinking of. But what does All Systems Go kind of have to follow up these three? Like, what are the plans and the horizon?
Is that a big things coming soon moment, or...
Big things are definitely coming.
How a good word do we want
to
be?
A good word to use here would just be more.
More.
And then are you guys going to stick to like the single route? Just do singles every kind of few months, or is there plans for possibly doing an EP or full length sometime in the future? Not necessarily in the near future, but sometime in there.
Well, depending on when this podcast is coming out, I would say more so near future than far future.
Okay.
Now the singles, I'll just say the singles route, we're not going to stick with that because like this is the first time we're doing singles in such a way that it's like, okay, single, music video, more content, like lyric explanation video, like something for like the whole like 9 yards for everything. And it's like, we've talked about this before. Right. I don't think, because bands were doing that during quarantine to kind of stay afloat and stuff. I don't think I'd have the patience to do that for like 6 or 7 songs. Like,
yeah. And the single thing is working great for marketing purposes. It's really awesome. But, you know, we also want to like express ourselves and create like a complete work. So that's why, you know, it's not going to be singles forever. Like something substantial will be in the works. So,
yeah, something substantial is in the works. And for 2022, I think one of our biggest goals is to get back to playing shows as much as we used to, because we used to play so many shows. Like 2019 in the summer, we played like 20 shows in like a 3 month span or something like that. Like, and getting back to doing that, like where we're doing like weekenders and stuff and like traveling a little bit more, like that's definitely one of the biggest goals I think we'd have going into next year and stuff.
And getting on bigger bills. Do you have anything planned? Okay. As far as shows and like doing anything like that, do you have anything planned yet for like this episode is going to come out beginning of December. So anything like December into January, do you have anything planned out for then as of now?
Shows, studio time, a little bit of everything, I'd say.
Okay.
Shows like what? It's so weird because before when we were like playing shows consistently, like I used to book everything like maybe like 3 months in advance. It's just been hard to kind of keep up with that aspect of it, especially because like we're adults now. Like I just got a new job. Joe's working two jobs right now. Dean's in grad school for finance, and Devin is taking care of his own place.
And then add the fact of like for a while we weren't able to book that in advance because it was like, is COVID gonna shut everything down by 3 months from now? Who knows? Now I think we're finally starting to get to the point where it's like, okay, we're pretty sure stuff is going to be open. And
just hard to find a starting point.
Yeah, yeah. Like in December, like as many shows as we can possibly do, I feel like is what we're hoping to just get out and play as much as we can. So, and in the meantime, I guess we'll be writing.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely dig these three singles that you guys have. And I'm stoked to see what's next in the wheelhouse, especially I know you guys mentioned Joe's song is in the works, and I'm stoked to see what that turns out like. Before we fully transition, is there anything I missed music or All Systems Go wise with these three singles?
I would just like to officially point out, because Dean flew over it, that riff in Sunset is referred to as the ice cream truck riff. And was referred to as that in the studio all the time.
Yes. I had it saved in my phone for forever as the ice cream truck riff.
Official name.
Alright. Before we, like, bounce off the studio, like, what was the... I know, like, we kind of talked a little bit about it, but, like, what was probably, like, your favorite moment just working with everyone that you worked with in the studio?
Scratch tracking. 100% scratch tracking. Like, so like Joe recording the drums and stuff, he needs something to listen to in his headphones, right? As opposed to like just putting our demo in Pro Tools and stuff and like having him listen back to that, because the song was different at the time. Like, we had to all like DI in the drum room and play the song at the same time, kind of thing, so he could have something to go off of when he was recording the drums. And since the songs were changed from just the day before, it was like we were doing just that part of it for like 3 hours. And it was like we were like the communication was there, you know, like that was, I feel like for me, that's the most we've ever felt like a band, if that makes sense, you know, like we got to put in work like right now. Like
for me, it would have to be hearing the guitar parts after they were recorded, like the rhythm parts in Sunset, like as soon as Devin, whoever played there, and then hearing it played like brr, 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 I'm just like blown away by like the like the quality of it, like the big sound that they were able to put together for us.
And I'm torn between I think the first would be like the last day in the studio when we've just listened to all of them through, and it was like, wow, like I think you could release that right now and it would sound pretty good, like without even mixing and mastering. Like, I was just blown away by that. And close second was the first day when we went in and did all the pre-recording, like, hey, maybe we can do this in this part. Maybe we can do this. Because in that little short session, like, Nick gave us so many great ideas, and the songs got so much better. Like, you walk in thinking, like, ah, this is pretty much it. Like, this is the song. But then we walked out, like, wow. Like, we wouldn't have never even thought to do that. But now it sounds so much better. So,
those were I had to miss the writing session. I think I had a gig or something. And I was just like, whatever you guys got to do with Don't Let Me Go, just do it. And I remember thinking, it's probably better that I'm not there, or else I'll be like, oh no, don't change up, don't change up. I was kind of glad that I was able to not be there so that they could like make all the changes that they want without me kind of like getting overly anxious about it. So
out of the three songs, what was the one that like probably changed the most from like pre-production to actual production?
Homecoming for sure.
Yeah, Nick added in this this great borrowed chord, this A flat chord, during the like opening riff and the post chorus and all that, which was not in the original song but it like just really adds to like the flavor of it all. And then there's spots where like the breeze coming, like there's a million other places, dun, 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 like that was all stuff that we hadn't like gotten around to like thinking of, and like you know when we worked all that in, it's like wow, the song's like comes alive now. So. Mm.
There was in the demo of Homecoming at the end, you know how there's the doon 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 doon, like that really echoey like high like lead guitar part. Right after the in the demo, right after learning at my own expense, there was like a solo that started out like like super shreddy and stuff like that. And then when we were listening back to it, Nick was like, "This sounds cool, but you're gonna lose half of your audience like from here through the rest of the song." Like it doesn't, it's too much, you know. And then we kind of like
forgot about that solo that you wrote for the song.
I did too.
Actually. I totally forgot that was the thing.
And one thing too, Nick has such a good ear for what makes a song really hit hard too. Like Joe was mentioning, all the ideas that he had, like off just simple, like, hey, what if it went like this? And then like when we were recording it, it's like, no, this has to sound exactly like this. Like he knew exactly, like what the songs needed to sort of be taken to the next level, which is pretty cool.
Definitely.
Hell yeah. So, I mean, like I've mentioned, go check out the three songs as soon as you can, depending on when they're out. Well, the last one's out, but the first two are already out already. Go check it out. But as we transition here, this is obviously Beers with Bands. Matt, I know you're drinking because I saw the Instagram. Shout out to you. What are you drinking, or is anyone else drinking anything tonight?
What you guys got?
Give me 1 second.
I am not, but I just want to say, and I probably won't because I have early work tomorrow, but I just want to say I'm a big fan of Trogues beer, and their Christmas one, Mad Elf, is coming out soon. That's always good.
Okay.
I am drinking a Trogues beer right now.
Oh, really? Awesome.
The Grand, I guess it's cacao, chocolate stout.
Ooh. I have to try that one.
Here you go. Me. This is Bonesaw Crimson Skull. Best brewery in South Jersey. I'm calling it right now, Bonesaw. Good luck getting in there because there's always like a line out the door. But their beer is like every single beer they have on tap is like the best beer I've ever had. Like I'm telling you right now. So like this isn't even like a top three of theirs in my opinion. But you know, we've got cans of it. And it's awesome. So.
Yeah, me and Joe both went to college in Central Pennsylvania too. So we like grew up, I guess, on Trogues and like.
Yeah.
Like Pennsylvania has so many breweries.
Yeah. Trogues is awesome. Mad Elf, they do Mad Elf, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. While you were gone, I literally mentioned Mad Elf.
Oh, here you go. Classic.
Yeah. And the listeners are super used to this. I'm just drinking a nice cold PBR because nothing hits right like a cold, frothy PBR.
Yeah. You sounded like a spokesperson for PBR right there. Like nothing hits like a cold, frothy PBR.
Amazing. Yeah. I was trying to work on that sponsorship. It hasn't worked out yet.
Yeah.
I'll get you.
Hop Mulligan just got a PBR sponsorship.
That's so funny.
I know.
PBR is like the pop punk beer, I guess. Which I think we already kind of knew that it was.
Guess so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because, like, they've always been like the pop punk or like punk beer. And then I feel like within like the last 6 to 8 months, they've been like more focused than they had before. And just like putting out all this content, this is me just on my PBR rant, but like they've been putting out like all this content, like trying to connect more with like the artist and like doing that whole 1776 pack for different people.
Yeah, if you look on like Hot Mulligan's Twitter or Instagram or something like that, like you'll see pictures of them. Like I think there's a picture of them sitting on one of them sitting on like a throne of like PBR cases or something like that.
Yeah.
When and you say they... PBR, I think dudes at a show. Like I'm just like saying.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For sure, like flannel, like holding, like nodding your head along with the, you know, like that is it.
We were. I think like Rom-Com or one of the songs was on a playlist called Flannels and PBR before like last year for a little bit.
That's awesome. Well, so we're all kind of loose now, and this leads into the final half of these episodes, which is my favorite part of the episodes. I know, Matt, you mentioned that you listened to the Dits episode, so you kind of know where this is going. This is where we talk about... how do I normally say this? A horrendous or tremendous or any other adjective you have, show or tour stories. I know you've been either in All Systems Go for quite a while or doing music for quite a while, and everyone's got those stories that they always remember from those shows. So this is where we just kind of talk about it.
Ow. I could do a two in one for that, a horrendous and tremendous.
Ooh, all right.
So I was in a band for a hot minute called Dino Patacio and the Intruders, and we played like around New Jersey up in New York. I was kind of like their sub, like fill-in bass player for a little bit, and we played two shows with the Slim Kings, which for those of you who don't know is the band that Liberty DeVito, a longtime drummer for Billy Joel, is in. So we played a couple shows with them, and our last song on one of our shows we did with them, we played Moving Out. So I'm like covering Moving Out by Billy Joel with this band while the drummer who played on that record is like sitting like 5 feet away from me, like at on a bench. Like I don't think it was PBR he was drinking, but he was drinking some kind of beer. And which, by the way, he is freaking awesome on behind the set, like at whatever his age is. Like he still like kills it. Like his hits are so clean, like he beats the shit out of that snare. But anyway, so we're like playing Moving Out, which is fucking awesome. I totally like played like a really prominent bass part wrong at the very end. Like I played a D minor or something instead of a D major or something. So I was like, oh, but like I don't think it was that noticeable. So it was kind of my 2-in-1 there.
That's awesome.
Did he come up to you at all after that and just like say anything about it?
I don't remember what he said. I think he said like Billy would have been proud or something like that. But yeah, we talked to him. We like shook his hand and stuff. Like we chatted with him. His band was great, the Slim Kings. I think they're still putting records out. So yeah.
I got a horrendous one. If we're gonna talk about like, especially if we're gonna talk about drinking and stuff. actually, I got kind of a horrendous one, but also like a cool one. I get the two different shows. Yeah, Joe might remember both of these. So the horrendous one, we played the Union Firehouse in Mount Holly in summer 2019. This is a venue that's like – it's huge. Like it's a 500-cap room pretty much. It's like a – and the stage is super nice. And it's in like a super small town kind of – or like Mount Holly is pretty big, but like the downtown section is like a small town kind of vibe. And it's an old firehouse renovated into a venue pretty much. And they have mostly like craft beers and stuff on tap or like in the fridge or whatever. So after this show, like I no longer really drink before playing because I can't sing when I drink beer.
Oh yeah.
And this is the show that taught me that. This is the show that also taught me I can be completely like trashed and absolutely shred and move around on guitar and stuff like that and have like full good stage presence without like, you know, being too like stiff or anything or even like messing up with it. But like my voice just blows out whenever I get like a little bit of drinking in me. So I was drinking like there was all these different, like I probably have them on like Untappd. Like I could scroll back and find what they are.
Dude, we need to add each other on Untappd. I didn't know you were on Untappd. What's going on?
Oh, dude, we'll do that then.
Yeah, I love that app. All right, I got you after this.
Yeah. But they had all these cool beers that were in like these like weird looking cans with all this dope art on them. And I was like, me and Augie were like, we're like pretty much going drink for drink. And it was like, yo, dude, this beer's cool too. And it was like, I didn't realize that all of them were like 7% and 8% until like afterwards. So we like, I'd say we did. We had a pretty good set. It's just my voice wasn't good at all. And then like when I heard the videos that were on Joe's mom's phone, it was like, yeah, we're not gonna talk about this gig, or like we'll post pictures of it because we have some good pictures from that gig, but we're not gonna share anything from that set. And then there was another show that was awesome. The first time we played Philly Brickwall. Brickwall Tavern is in Center City in Philly. They specialize for bands they specialize in cover band shows. There's a club in the back room, or like, which is technically in the next street over, but it's like the back entrance in the back of Philly Brickwall, which is right next to where they set the bands up and stuff. So like at 11 o'clock the line to get into that club fills up, but there's no full security line keeping that line like kind of like a snake line, like a movie theater or something like that. So it's all just people pretty much just standing on a dance floor. And when we start playing, the place starts going nuts, basically. And it's cool. It's like a free audience, but they're like, some of them, like they stay for the whole set or like the whole rest of the set. So this is another beer story too, where we played two sets that night, and in between, Devin's girlfriend, now fiance, comes up to us and goes, I just had this really good beer. It's from, what's it called? It's Broken Goblet Brewery in Bensalem, PA. It's called They Burn Them All Away. And it was a 13% beer. And it was a weird combination of tasting. Like, it was like if you mixed like a Guinness and a rum and Coke, and you get a fruity taste out of it. Like, I can't, it's so hard to describe, but it was really good. And it was like, okay, well, we have a 20-minute break in between two sets, so we'll just go and grab one and then, like, you know, come back. And they gave it to us in these little, like, small, like, 10-ounce cups. And then it was like – this was a day where it was during the summer where it was 102 degrees outside. Like, it was during a heat wave or something. So it was, like, kind of hot inside. So we're like, all right, we got to – like, I don't want to have this sitting here and stuff like that. So we all kind of, like, just put it back real quick. Joe, I don't know if you had it. I know me, Augie, and Devin all had it.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, but during a few songs into the second set, all of a sudden, I think we were playing, like, Ocean Avenue by Yellow Card. I look down, and I just see, all of a sudden, I see my hand slow down. Like, it's still going full speed, but in my vision, I just see it slow down, and I'm just like, oh, my God. And then it was cool though, because the whole rest of the set you get that like drunk at a party vibe while you're playing guitar, but the audience is singing like louder than you can hear yourself, and it was just like, it was just like being at like a house party pretty much.
If I could
Oh gosh, that's funny, Matt, because I was actually also going to talk about a beer experience. And I think you could ask any of the other guys and they would tell you without even thinking about it. I'm not a very big drinker. Like, I'll have one or two drinks at a time. That's really it. And one gig, it was the right gig to not have control over my drumming, because it was like some little bar in the middle of nowhere that we were like the third act and there was hardly anybody there. Totally outside of our genre, the other two acts. But I distinctly remember having two really big beers. And then being up on stage and just having like this thought in my head of like, I have no control of what my right foot is doing. Like, I don't even know what's happening. Like, I think I know what my hands are doing, but I'm not sure if I know what my foot's doing. And that's probably a bad thing because I play the drums.
What gig was that?
I don't remember the names of this. It's the one where they had the really big Jenga.
That's like every bar, dude.
Yeah, right?
McGuinn's in Lawrenceville.
Yes. Yeah, it was that one. Right, there was like nobody there. So it worked out well. So there was that, and then I'm also going to call myself out a little bit for another horrendous one. A couple that like 2 days ago when we played Homecoming. I don't think anybody noticed this, so I'll totally call myself out on this. we started Homecoming. Like, yeah, we just released this song. Here's the song. I totally started playing Sunset. Like, in my head, I heard Sunset. And I started playing that, and then I realized, oh, shit, we're playing Homecoming. So I had to change really fast. I think I asked a few people afterwards, and no one really noticed. So it worked out okay, but that was just a funny, like, in my head, like, huh.
I caught that.
Oops, you caught that?
I looked at you and started laughing. I was like, ah, new song, dude.
Yeah, really.
But my mom took a video of it, and you couldn't tell the difference. Like, the cymbals are a little bit louder, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, yo, okay. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, it worked out okay, but that was really funny. But
yeah, you guys are better than me, though, because, like, Devin will have, like, a beer or two to, like, loosen up. If I have even one drink before I start playing, I'm making like three times as many mistakes. Like, like if I'm like completely sober, like, you know, my dancing's like fine, like I'm playing like in time and stuff. If I have like even one drink, I'm like, oh shit. Like, I'm not like that much of a lightweight, but I cannot like play bass and drink alcohol at the same time. If it's a high energy band, like All Systems Go, for example.
Mm. Yeah.
If I wasn't singing. I'd be
late. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
pretty much.
So when I used to like TM my friend's band, and when we first like started going on the road, and I would like do all this, like we weren't big drinkers, and then we started getting to be like kind of big drinkers, sort of like towards the evolution of like them progressing. So I had to implement this rule where it was like, you get two drinks before you play, and that's fucking it. Like, because I knew these guys would get too crazy and not be able to fully play.
Yeah.
There was one show we played where one guy was like, oh, we can only do two drinks. So he got, like, one of the strongest Long Islands I've ever tasted. Like, he couldn't even finish it. It was so bad.
Bro, two Irish car bombs. Where... Let's go.
Right? It's just two. There was a time we were supposed to play like somewhere in Kansas, and we were coming back from like California, and we found out like on our way there that the local that we were supposed to play with, one of the members didn't get the day off of work, so which is weird to think of. So they dropped off, so it was just us playing to like this bar that no one wanted to listen to us anyways. And they all looked at me. It's like our last day of tour before driving like 6 hours home the next day. They're like, is the rule still in place? I was like, no, dude, fuck all the rules. Like, the bartender felt bad that, like, everyone dropped and was just giving us drinks. Like, we were just having a good fucking time. And then I remember at one part, our lead guitarist, like, somehow, like, he was trying to, like, posse jump or something, and he fell back just right into a speaker. Ooh. And we were just like, well, fucking load the van, get the fuck out of here. Like, let's just go sleep in our hotel and not have to worry about this.
Yeah. All right, yeah, I'll take two shots of Everclear, please. Yeah. How's that for your rule?
Yeah. Dude, I gotta commend the guy that did the one Long Island, because no one had tried to pull that the entire, like, any time that I had implemented the rule. It's usually just like, okay, I'll have like two whatever beers, and like no one tried to just up the ante for whatever reason.
When he did, he really did.
I got another good memory first for a drinking story from shows. There was Joe wasn't here for this one. He had like some school stuff, or he was still. We played Harper's Pub acoustic with Kyle, our original drummer, filling in on Cajon. We played with a band called Pasture and our friends at the time, or now they're our friends, Out of Service. And we're like, okay, we're the opening band. We're just gonna. And I would say Kyle and Augie were like the biggest drinkers of the band, like back in the day, like when we were first starting out and stuff. So they're like, all right, we're only playing acoustic, we're doing shots. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do shots. It's like, we're doing shots. And then it's like, I'm not a big liquor drinker. The only times I've had liquor after college, like after 2017, were really like taking shots on stage and stuff like that. Like I'm more of a beer guy, but, the house whiskey at Harper's, for how cheap and apparently how like, oh, this is just cheap whiskey, for how cheap it is, it goes down super smooth. So after the first, like Cheers Boys, after the first Cheers Boys, like, okay, we're doing shots. So then we did some shots on stage, like, during our set, like, in between songs. Like, Kyle's mom was there, and he's like, Mom, can you go get – he grabbed, like, one of our mics. He's like, can you go get us some shots, please? And then, like, after the next song – the shots aren't here yet. Can you go get us some shots? And then, like, all of our friends were there. Like, it was a really fun show. But by the end of the night, like, our entire table was essentially just empty glasses. Like, there was no room to put anything on the table because it was just. But we actually played well, and it was a great time.
Well, congrats, because I feel like shots would have just put me underneath the table and been like, yeah, like, there's a like, we're not playing this set at all. Like, I don't care what you say.
We went nuts during the other two band sets. I think they were all about it too, which is pretty, you know.
All right, so as we wind down here, I just want to give one more big thank you to All Systems Go for stopping by and hanging out with me on this fine Monday night.
Just talking about your band. Thanks for having us. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Had a great time. I'm stoked on these singles. I'm stoked to see what's coming next. I hope everyone goes. If you haven't already, go listen to these singles because they're amazing. If anyone is looking for merch, music, or you guys in general, where can they find it?
All of our social media tags are at All Systems Go NJ. If you type it into YouTube, just type it as all separate words, All Systems Go NJ. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music. Bandcamp is where you can find our merch. Again, All Systems Go NJ. If you go on any of the streaming platforms, our logo, Spanky the Sparrow, is the bird that you're looking for profile pictures. So,
And I before we fully end, I do like to end these on like an even better, like a higher note than just the stories. What is something that you are all looking forward to with the progression with this next segment of All Systems Go that's going to be happening?
I think we're, I could probably speak for the other guys too. I think we're looking forward to sharing with the world our probably what's going to be our best work.
Yeah, I would say the same. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Relating to more audiences, getting more of our music out there, expressing
Getting our ideas realized and then being able to listen to them back on Spotify or on whatever.
Yeah. Well, everyone, go check it out. Go check it out on all streaming sites. One last thank you to All Systems Go for stopping by. And I will catch... Oh, actually, before I say this, if you or anyone you know should be on an episode of Beers with Bands, feel free to reach out. I'm always down to talk to new people about their music over a few beers. Okay, so now that we're fully winding down, thank you to All Systems Go, and that'll end it for this episode. I'll catch everyone on the next one. Thank you. See ya.
When we met, you caught my gaze, a cold ass night near the heart.